Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Metamoon podcast. I'm Emily, and I find this weird experience we call life completely fascinating. So I interview experts, teachers, creatives, and people with interesting stories so we can all make sense of what is happening here and how we can enjoy the ride a little bit more. Just a quick reminder, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a rating and a review. That really helps your girl out. Today, I am so excited to bring you my chat with Matthias DiStefano, who is a very unique being with a fascinating story. He's sometimes referred to as the rememberer because when he was very young, he began remembering complex information about the interworkings of the universe, including other lives on other planets. He now has a worldwide following and shares this information to support a collective breakthrough to powerful new experiences and the creation of a new world based on the perspective that we are the creators of our own reality. We talked about dimensions and emotions and awakening and past lives and what happens when we die. There is a lot of gold in this interview. And if you're hungry for more after you listen, you can dig into Matthias's show on Gaia. There is a link for you all to a free trial in the show notes. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Matthias DiStefano. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Matthias. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So to get started, let's just jump into sort of the story of who you are for those who are listening who don't know you. Who is Matthias and how did you become the person who sits with me today?
Whoa, long story. and weird. I was born in a small town in Argentina called Venado Tuerto. And since I was born, I was able to just feel everything that was around me and the other dimensions, the other beings. And for me, it was the natural thing. And I was born in a family that was agnostic. So they had no religions, no beliefs, anything. But so they thought I was a very creative person. and of course, as I was growing up, I start to realize that I was remembering many things that I did before I was born. So I kind of never forget everything that I was doing before. So as I was growing up, I was receiving more and more and more information about who I was and what is the universe and why we're here, and so much information that I was able to organize when I was 20 or in between my 18 and 20, 21. And after that, I decided to study education. Well, no, before I decided to study education because I wanted to help all the kids that were going through the same process like me. But suddenly I understood that the grown-ups were the most complicated. So I started to make some speeches about the new education, how we have to understand the humans. And suddenly the people started to ask me, how do you know this? So I said, well, I just remember. And how is that? So I started to explain about aliens and many things that I remember that for me was not the point, but the people wanted to hear that. I was just talking about education, but they wanted to hear about planets. And suddenly I started to do many workshops about this. And suddenly a lot of people were putting my videos in YouTube. And I started to make path of consciousness around the world and teaching about our purpose on Earth. And here we are. I'm in Egypt.
That's so amazing.
Long story short.
Yeah. Gosh, I just have so many questions. And this interview was actually hard to prepare for because I'm like, what do I ask someone who can access all things? Like, where do we begin? But we'll get as much as we can into this time we have together. And people are just going to have to watch your show and follow you to get the rest of it, to get the most out of everything you have to offer, because it really is so much. And it's so amazing. I've loved watching your show and everything that you do. And so I'm really excited to jump into all of it today. So let's start with your show on Gaia. You have a show called Initiation, and it goes into so much. I mean, the first season, you break down dimensions, and each episode is kind of focused on a different dimension. And watching that show, I feel like there was so much that I felt I already knew that became more clarified, but it also filled in the gaps of so many questions that I still had. So I would love to hear from you a little bit about what are dimensions and how do we access them and navigate them? Because I feel like a lot of people misunderstand them as like an external physical place, like somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
So could you explain a little bit about what they are? How do we access them and all that about dimensions?
Sure. Well, yeah, it's normal for us that we live in the third dimension to think that go into another dimension is to move yourself from one spot to another, because we are in the third dimension. So everything that is to be in another place for us is to go from point A to point B. So, but that's not dimensions. Dimensions is precisely what it names says, which is a dimension of something. So it's a perspective. It's not about, for example, the our dimension, which is the third dimension. It means that it has three different dimensions together, which is wide, depth, and high. So this is why it's three dimensions. Okay, so when you realize that, to go to the fourth dimension, you just have to add another stick to this sample, okay? Another line to this. You have one, two, three, and the fourth dimension would be four, which will represent the movement of the third one. And then you add another one, and you have the fifth. And then you have another one, and you have the sixth. So it's not about going into a place. It's about to expand your perception from where you are. We could maybe make it more human to understand, like trying to know better your friends. It's like you have friends, but you don't really know them because you just get fun with them and then you go home. So your perspective is just your family. But suddenly when you go and live with your friends, you change your perspective of what that friend was. It was always there. It was always with you. But now you can know it better. You are seeing with its eyes. You are looking the world as the other person is looking to it. So going to another dimension is not to move you from one spot to another. It's to open your perception of another part of your own existence. Mm.
Yeah, so right now I hear so many people, especially in the spiritual community, talking about this move into 5D, like we're moving to 5D.
Yeah.
What is that? What do people mean by that? What does that look like for us?
Well, I would say that first we have to understand the fourth. I would say that we don't even know how to live properly in the third dimension, so don't rush. No rush to go to the fifth, because we don't even know how to enjoy the third dimension. We don't understand the fourth dimension, so the fifth dimension would be very difficult. The thing of the fifth dimension is like trying to be like if you are a proton, and you need to understand what a proton is before to understand how it is to live like that. To live in the fifth dimension is to live in the middle of a cable, like in the internet. So you're just energy flowing constantly. It's not like you are going to live in the fifth dimension like a human? Of course not. So we usually relate the fifth dimension with heaven, so like a kind of perfect place where we all could be happy and we will reach the masters. But this is the religion perspective that was transmitted into spirituality today. Our expectations and our expectations and hope to find a better place. But dimensions are not that. For example, as I said, every dimension is just an expression of this one, of the third dimension. So in order to first understand the other dimensions, you have to be in perfect balance in the third dimension. Because this is like trying to solve the problems of that friend, but you had no idea how to solve the problems in your own home with your family. So you cannot solve the problems or to understand the problems of other cultures or other friends, other people, if you first don't understand your own. So in order to open yourself to understand the other dimensions, you need to first to live fully present and to understand the third dimension, to enjoy this dimension, which is not a trap. We created the idea that it's like we are trapped in this reality, but we are not. We are trapped because we want to escape from this reality, which is very different. And then we have the fourth dimension, and the fourth dimension is the one related with the time. So this means that we need to heal our past, present, and future so we could be in perfect balance with fourth and fifth and third dimension in order to be enlightened, which is like trying to put the, like turn the light, which is the fifth dimension, where everything is clarity when you understand everything. But you're not going anywhere. You're just realizing about everything that was forming you through time in the fourth dimension and through space in the third dimension. Both together with understanding is the fifth dimension. So we need to have, we will have a lot of work before we reach the fifth dimension.
Yes. So what would you say is the thing that most of us human beings should be focused on right now? I think when we get into spiritual practices or specific religions, there's all these different kind of dualistic good and bad, and this is how we be good, this is the goal to get to heaven, or to, and it's always seems like it's to get somewhere else, to be somewhere other than here. So what would you say we should be focusing on as human beings right now?
Well, first of all, to try to understand who we are, because if we want to go to the fifth dimension, we are going to bring all our problems from the third dimension to the fifth dimension, and then the master will send us back. Like, first clean your room and then come out. The thing that we have to do right now as humans is to try to focus on who we are. And in order to know who we are, we need to understand our history, our biology, to understand all the path of history that we have done. We need to understand that there was no good and no bad in history. That was just people trying to understand the better way to do stuff. So that's one of the clues that brings you to understand what is unconditional love, which is not to love, which is to accept every process. And I guess that first we need to feel in peace with our past. And when we find peace with our past, what we can do is to focus on the skills that we have in the present. And most of us are so preoccupied, are so occupied to try to be like others, to be enlightened, to be like the masters, to feel like in the fifth dimension, that we are not being able to understand the potential that we have as a person. What do I have to give to others? What do I have to receive? How do I find my own potential? why do I feel that I have to run from this reality? What makes me uncomfortable in this reality? I need to face all that. I need to find that and to set me free from the future. The future will come, but the future is only created through the actions of the present. There are many futures and they are happening right now, but the ones we are going to pick are the ones that matches with our vibration. So future goes very fast. If we don't reach that vibration, we are not getting in the future we want. So it's not about to expect what is coming in the future. It's about to prepare ourselves in the present. So this is why I would recommend everyone to start to look in the mirror and start to see if you feel full, if you feel complete. It's a long thing to speak you anyway.
Yes, it's always hard to make it small. Yeah, I love that because I feel like a lot of times we get caught up in like a lot of shoulds or kind of rules of like, oh, I'm supposed to be this way without really questioning like why. Why do I think I should be that way? Which is part of what I love that you talk about in that first season of initiation, the episode where you talk about duality and explaining how it's these polarities of positive, negative, and there's not necessarily good or bad. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about duality?
Sure. I know that many of the spiritual people is trying to escape duality, but if they escape duality, they don't exist anymore. you should know that because everything that you are, everything that you have created is through duality, because duality means creation. The polarity of duality means that there is a positive and a negative, which is the negative is not bad. It's like an iron. Like a magnet. Yes, it's like a magnet or like the Earth. It cannot rotate if it doesn't have a south and north pole and magnetism. So you need a feminine cell and a masculine cell in order to be born. You are the product of constant polarity. So the concept of good and bad is not polarity. The concept of good and bad is something that was useful in our evolution to understand what can kill us and what can help us to keep living. It's more something related with the ethics of evolution, with the survival of our own species, than something real. Because everyone, we usually, I have this discussion with a lot of people that says, but there are bad people. No, there is no bad people. It doesn't exist a bad people. Every bad people that you meet is a child that within had no idea how to handle their problems. They had no love when they were a child. They were bullied. They suffered the bullying when they were a child. So they were abused when they were a child. And that's all they know. They think that that's the only reality. So it keeps going and keeps going. And suddenly, you have a bad person. But it's not the bad person. It's someone that was distorted from its own reality. So we should not divide the universe in bad and good. We should realize that there is a positive and a negative creating constantly, and sometimes this amount of energy is stuck because, I don't know, any situation like a trauma is stuck and then explodes. And that's what we call something bad that can kill us. So what we need to learn is how to move this duality in balance and not to kill one of them because we think it's bad, because otherwise we don't move, and that's the end.
Yeah, that's what I love so much about the way you explain that. It's like, it's that perspective again, because if you look at it outside of a human trying to survive, if you zoom out enough, in your perspective, then how could there ever be anything that's bad? It's only bad in relativity to us wanting to be safe, fed, have our needs met, not die. Like, that's what makes something, oh, this is bad, this is threatening to my existence. But if you look at it from the universe as this constantly evolving, changing thing, yeah, all those bad things that I look back on in my life were responsible for my growth and my change. So I loved the way you explained that so much. It's really helped me. So if there's people, I think a lot of times when people start to realize that, people get stuck with like, but what do we do about all the evil in the world? Like, what do we do? Should we not want to be better? Should we not want to change things? So what would you say to that?
Well, I wouldn't waste energy in stop the evil. Yeah. I wouldn't waste energy in that, because that's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Something that is really good in the third dimension is that everyone is going to die. And that's a relief. There is no one that will escape from death. So everyone that you think is evil, they will die. So it's okay. So just for you to be more quiet. So what do we have to do? To put our energy in education. To put our energy, not in the education that teach you math, in the education of the child's, the first 7 years of life, where you learn about how it is to be a human, how it is to feel, how it is to relate with others, how it is to handle your emotions. That's the most important thing. So if we put all our energy in trying to give to those kids the possibility to heal themselves from all these concepts, and heal themselves from all these concepts is not hiding the history, because there is some people that maybe would say, okay, the best way is not to tell them what happened and to raise them like if it is heaven. No, the way you do that is by telling everything that happened. And kids, by nature, they are compassive with everything. And so when you see the evil that exists in the world, and you ask the kid, you don't say to the kid, that's bad. You never say that, because otherwise you're conditioning in duality of bad and good. What you would say is, what do you think about this? How would you solve this? Do you think there's another way? With questions, never with this. Always with questions. So for them to find their own answers and to find new ways. Because when the kids realize that the adult is the one that has no idea how to do it, and that's why we are asking them, because we did this mess. The adults did this mess. So we ask to the new ones, how will you do it? Because I don't know how to solve it. So they will start to work in that, and we can give them tools to do that. Mm. But I would rather put my energy in the future than trying to go against the past.
Mm. That's beautiful. Yeah, because I think so many times too, I found that desire to like social justice and do the right thing, a lot of times is us trying to be good and point the finger elsewhere, like, oh, you're bad, yeah, but I'm good. I'm going to save the day. Like, I'm going to be the hero. And that still comes down to kind of that ego mechanism of trying to make sure that me as an individual, Emily, am like, I'm good. And I feel like that comes from our childhood when we are told by our parents, be a good girl, do the good thing. And so we're just living our lives like, well, I need to make sure I follow the rules and do good.
Exactly. Yes. And then you remember everything you have done in other lives, and you see that you weren't always good. Yeah. And when you open your perception of other times and lives, and you know that everyone was doing everything that they could, what they were supposed to do as they thought it was the best, So suddenly you realize that, okay, so I have to try to do my best for the future, not to fight against the past. This is something that by culture, we were saying to the kids, you have to be good, you have to behave yourself. And that's really the opposite to what we have to do. We are not the ones that knows what to be good means. We need to figure it out. And to be good is to be in balance. It's not to be a good person. It's to be a coherent and a balanced person, not to be a good person. There's a lot of good people that did really bad things for others. So it's not to be good.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before, that idea of coherence and being in coherence with the planet. What does that look like? How do we find that balance?
Well, coherence is something that when you say it, it seems like it's really easy, but it's not. Basically, it's something very cliche, I guess, which is to have coherence between what you think, what you feel, and what you do. And this is related to the spirit, to the soul, and the body. The problem we have in our history is that we made a division between the spirit, the soul, and the body. Like if they are three different things. Like I have a body, and there is my soul that sometimes comes out and comes in, and that there is the spirit above and is the one living in heaven. So we divided that, but it's not like that. The conjunction of the three of them, we call it the being. And I like to explain how they work, comparing the being with water. You have water, only water, but the water has three different stages. The solid, which is the ice, the liquid, the water itself, and the gas in the clouds and steam, everything. So imagine that the ice is the body, the liquid is the soul, and the gas is the spirit. But it's water, the three of them. So there's no separation. It's always water. It's one only body expressing itself in three different things. So when we divided that, like if it is different things, we started to think in a way, to feel in a different way, and to act in a different way. And of course, the spiritual is the most inner part of ourselves, the most subtle. So it's the one that we don't usually share with others, where the essence of ourselves is. Then we have the story and the personality, which is in the soul, in the liquid part, that other people can't feel and relate because they can't touch it. And then we have the structure, which is the patterns and biology that we have, everything that we inherit from history, which is the body. So we usually, what we do is to hide the spirit, because it's something I cannot explain. It's very weird. And the water, the soul, is so flexible that I never know exactly how to explain, how do I feel, how do I relate with others. So I just stay with my body, and I do exactly what my family tells me to do, what society tells me to do, what the outside, the structures, the patterns where I can relate with, tells me to do. So we usually do a work, for example, we take a job that we don't like, so our soul feels trapped, cannot flow. And usually whatever happens in the job, I don't think about that like this is good. You know, like I don't like this. I would do it in a different way. So we usually, in our daily lives, are incoherent. And it's not about to say I want to take the, I want to, it's not only about to say I want to a better world, and then you don't separate the waste. I don't know, the, like an example, organic, inorganic, and so like, oh, that person is incoherent. No, that's one of the incoherence that we could see, but there are many incoherence that are within, with what I feel, what I think, what I express. And in order to be coherent with the world and to help to the world to be coherent, first we need to be ourselves coherent. And that's the most difficult part, because it's to ask ourselves, am I living according to what I feel and according to what I believe, what I think, or I'm totally living something that I was not meant to live. So, and that's very heavy, because when you realize that, you enter in a crisis, because you realize that you have to change your life, and your body, which is in charge of your survival, would say, death alert, death alert, because any change for the body is to die. So that's why the body is afraid to change and to make the, you know, the to take the leap, it says, to go beyond in another consciousness, because it means to leave everything that we have built behind. And that's why it's so heavy, but also seems easy.
Yeah, that's what I found. The more I've kind of had realizations myself, and I'm like, oh, I want to share this with other people, and then I realize you're basically selling death, and a lot of people don't like that. Like, the ego's gonna be like, oh, I no, don't tell me that. So it's interesting. You do a great job of explaining a lot of things that can feel very scary in a way that's very inviting. So you do that really well. I would love to hear more on the topic of the soul. The soul is an interesting thing to me to understand, because in the way that you explain the water is always the same thing changing form, right? That's, in a way, that's everything that is. We're all this emanation of that first dimension. We're all connected. We're all different forms and pieces of one whole, right? So is the soul, is there some sort of separate aspect to ourselves that is outside of this body that's still a sort of a separate being? Or is the soul something more connected than that? Like, what is that soul thing?
We can call the soul like the energy that makes the body be together. This is why when the energy of the body spreads and leaves the body, the body starts to disappear, to be eaten by other creatures, because there's no more life energy. But it's not something different. It's the energy that just was spread from the shape, and that, like the water, it just goes through a state of physical aspect in the eyes, and then it flows in a river, and it goes again to the ocean, which is the universe, and then goes to the spirit by the steam and becoming clouds, and then snow again in the mountains, becoming again a new body. So the cycle of water is very useful to understand how we move through space. So the soul is just that expression of energy that never ends. We all know, it's something scientific, that the energy never ends. The energy only transforms. So this is the clue and the scientific fact that the soul lives many lives, because if the soul is energy, which is also information, so everything that the energy lives is alive. So all the information from each one of the places and bodies that this energy touches and flows through it becomes that same body and registers the information. It's like water. What water has the information of everything that it used to be. And now, for example, I am 70-80% of water right now. So when I will die, maybe my water will be drunk by a tree, and the tree will be eaten by some other insects, and then from birds, and the birds from a cat, and the cat from, you know, and so on. And my energy will be constantly transforming in different shapes. That's the soul. That's why we can remember different lives, and not only our lives, because as water is only one body. So we can remember the lives that are more aligned with our level of vibration. But it's like trying to understand a language. It's like if you have a database of many languages, but you can only understand three of them, maybe because they are very similar, and all the rest, you don't understand anything, so you don't pay attention to that. So that's why you can remember maybe three, four lives in the past, because they're speaking your own language emotionally, and but you have thousands and thousands of lives and experiences that you share with thousands and billions of beings.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to ask you about, because so season two of Initiation is more focused on a lot of these things that you remember from these other lives, everything from like lives as what we would call an alien on another planet, and like different lives on Earth. So is that the soul that helps, that brings that memory to you? What's the vehicle that allows you, like this brain and this body that's sitting with me, to have these memories? Like, what's the vehicle that brings you those memories?
No, the brain is like the computer trying to decode in algebra what is in the Wi-Fi. Something like that. The brain is just a processor to understand the information that flows all over you. Mm-hmm. So this is why when we start to remember, the first thing that we remember are very emotional, because we relate information with emotion in our body, not with mind. Mm-hmm. The mind is the one that tries to decode the information of the energy. The emotion. So it is just trying to make you understand, to be clear about that memory that you are receiving. And memo is something that you write, is something to record. That's what it means. And water records in geometry all this information. So everything that I remember is in my blood, is in my water, and is in my soul, what we would call soul. And I don't know the etymology of soul in English, but in Spanish, soul, it says alma, which comes from the word Latin, which is anima. And anima is the origin of the world of animals. We share the same word, animals. So in Latin and Greek, it means something that moves. So something that is moving, we call it anima. So the energy flowing, we call it anima. So it's the energy that flows, that moves, and that brings the information. I know I have many registry of many beings that I haven't been them spiritually, or I can say this is not my own story. You know, it's like a tree, like a big tree, and you are in just a tiny branch. And you say, okay, this is my branch, but there are so many other branches, but they are all the tree. So you share the concept of I am the tree, I have the information of the whole tree, but my lineage is just with this branch. So all my history goes straight from that branch. So you can remember the lives from that branch, but then when you go deeper and deeper, suddenly you see, oh my God, this is a tree. And suddenly you can see that you are part of everyone. It's not your own history.
Yeah, that's that analogy really helps me, because that's something I've always tried to understand about when people say, oh, I remembered these past lives, because I've had these experiences of what one might call oneness, of that we all are connected to that one tree, right? So I'm like, is there a difference between like the memories and the beings and the other people that you're remembering? Are those more Matthias's past lives than mine? Yes. Like, could I remember those same lives? What's the separation there between to make them your past lives if it, in the end it all becomes one, right? So at what point does it become these are Matthias's past lives, or could I access the same memories?
It's the uniqueness of each one of the parts of the tree. That's why we call it the tree of life. The tree of life is not just because they picked that name for to understand something. It's because it really is like a tree. So we all have the same roots. We all absorb the nutrients of the cosmos, the void. The darkness is like the one feeding the reality. So picture this. The darkness is the one feeding the reality. And that's another issue. but then there is a transmission of information, which we call, we used to call it the sheaf. It's a path of channeling of all information that maybe we can call here the Akashic records. It's like where all information gets together, and it's not against the other. It's like all together. That's the trunk of the tree. Okay, that's the trunk of the tree where everyone is one, and we are all related to that, the roots and the branches. Then you have 9 branches, which are different dimensions. And in each one of these dimensions starts to create new branches and new branches and new branches. And in each branch, you create a history line, okay, of the information. And then when you go to the smallest branches, you will have the leaves, okay? And the leaves are like different systems, like galaxies, okay? Like different galaxies that exist in the whole cosmos, every leaf. So then the leaves absorb the light to make it, to create the product. So they create the fruit. No, sorry, a flower. So they create a flower. And that's the galaxies that are able to create life. Okay, so you have, imagine every leaf is like tiny galaxies or suns, okay? And each one is different, stars all over. And each flower of the tree is the specific galaxy that is going to create life. And you can see the flower like with the shape of a galaxy. And then inside you have, I don't know the name in English, I guess it's called stellium, which is the very tiny part of where the nectar is, okay? What is the solar system? Okay, so you find the solar system there. And then you go inside and you find a spore, which is the planet. And inside the spore of this pollen, you find the potential to create life. So when you go deeper and deeper, okay, you find the molecules, okay? And in the molecules are the species, and each atom is a person. So So imagine the size of this is very big. So picture this, that we are unique and different as different electrons, but we all have different charges that must match in order to create something big that we feel that is unity. What creates this? A fruit. So it's the product of the flower. So we can create life, new life, and then the seed of life, and so on. And we create a new universe with a new fruit because we create a new tree. And that's the parallel universe that we are creating. That's the reality of a parallel universe. It's a forest. Many trees all sharing the roots together and reflecting each other with the same potential. So different timelines, different parallel universe is a big forest. And that's what makes each one of us so different, because each one of us has a different potential to become a leaf, to become a branch, to become a flower, to become the stilum, to become a petal, to become... If we were not different, we wouldn't create life. And that's why we are all one, being each one of us unique. Mm. Our own history.
That's like, thinking about it like that, it really makes everything we stress out about on a day-to-day not seem so much.
Yeah.
Tiny little
piece. Yeah, sometimes we believe that we have to make great things in order to be like something important in the universe, and no, we just maybe have to get in love with someone, and that will activate a chain of energy that we create life and so many other things. So it's simple, really.
Yeah, that's beautiful. One last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up is the idea of like, how do we integrate and make peace with this within ourselves? I think a lot of times as people start to go on a spiritual path and maybe they have some deeper understandings of their spiritual nature, but yet we're here in this 3D realm. We have this ego, like primal mechanism that keeps us alive. So how do we coexist with both of those things? How do we live this 3D experience with all these instincts and emotions and like that ego side of us? How do we approach the ego, and how do we make peace with it and live this 3D experience to our fullest?
Well, the first thing is that ego comes from the Latin word that means I am. Mm-hmm. So when someone in Rome would say ego sum, it means I am. So we created the concept of ego as something bad, but in reality, ego is a tool to understand what is our position in the world. It's not something we have to fight, it's something we have to understand. It's not something we have to get rid of it, it's something we have to understand how to use it. So the I, one, self, is the conjunction of potentials and tools that we inherit through history and through stars and through the energy of the universe that makes us be what we are now. So when we have this moment of awakening and suddenly we see the whole universe and we understand that, oh my God, how do I can leave all that, which is the perfection of the universe, and I'm here trapped in this thing? You know, what do I do in this reality? So the next step to that, like for example, when you I hope no there's no children looking at this, but it's like when you realize that Santa doesn't exist. Okay. It's like you have lived around 8 years, 9 years of your life thinking that, whoa, that's amazing. You know, the someone comes from the sky and gives you gift. It's kind of the same as religion, like the image of God or the savior or something like that. It's the same. But picture like this, when you suddenly one day you realize that they were lying to you. The family was lying to you your whole life. You are 7, 8, 9 years old, but suddenly you look into your parents and say, why? You see your mother, which is the religion, and you see your father, which is the state, the government, and you say, why? Why have you been lying to me? This, you are trapping me. I need to be free. Why? Santa doesn't exist. And what do you do next? You have to figure it out. You have to live your life step by step, and there's no other way. You have to create your new reality to seek for a new Santa. And then until you realize that there was no Santa, that I was Santa, you know, that I was buying the gifts. So when you realize that you were buying the gifts for your own children, suddenly you realize, oh my God, I am God. I am the universe, you know? And the only way I can work with that is by becoming myself my own creator. So if I become myself my own creator, this means that I created this reality and I am also able to transform this reality. So by this example, what I want to say is that the ego is the tool that we have to create. It's like if you're an artist, your personality, your ego would be the oils, the colors, the painting. And what you decide to do with your colors and your brushes is your decision. And when you realize how to handle that, how to mix the colors, that blue and yellow makes green. And so the problem of humans is that they are trying to make green out of black and red. And we are trying so hard to imitate others. And you say, but I don't know how to do it. Well, you have to learn that green is made up with blue and yellow, and you need to understand how to mix them. So so I guess this is step by step, because you will realize that you are the creator of your own reality. And at first, it's very difficult to understand because you feel trapped. You have 8 years old. You are 8 years old and just discovered that Santa doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And but you have a whole life ahead where you will create your own. And the ego is the tool to do that.
That's so good. I'm like smiling so big right now. I love that so much. It's amazing. That's so great. Well, the one thing I would want to kind of wrap up with that I've heard you say that I would love for you to share here is that kind of segues into as far as like the path that we're on as humans, how we can create that, like how to fulfill that sense of purpose and what we're here to do. And one thing I love that I've heard you talk about is spiritual practice. And you summed up spiritual practice in three things. Do you know what I'm talking about? What I'm
referring to? Yes, yes.
Yeah, will you share that with us?
The most important ones. Yes. Yeah, the three tools to start to make a correct path in your life are not very big, but they are very important. So sometimes it's very difficult. The first one is for your body, the second one for your soul, and the third one for your spirit. So the first one is to eat better. And what means to eat better? It's to eat according to what you expect in your own evolution. You are what you eat. Every cell of your body is nourishing from what you eat. So everything that you eat will become yourself. So this is why if you want to become more light in the fifth dimension, what you have to do is to stop eating stuff that brings you in a low vibration, like meat, for example. You will have to start with eating more more light things, and the ones that really knows how to bring light on earth are vegetables. They, by photosynthesis, they know how to bring that light here. So the fruits, the seeds, the roots, the leaves, they are all part of the light. So as much light you want to come, you will have to change your diet so your cells can also bring that information of light within. That's a very important. And that will take a lot of time. It's not like I will start Monday. Never do that. Never start this in Monday, because Monday is not the day to start anything. That's a wrong way we see the time. Start it when your body feels ready for that, and not in just one day. Just start to change it, and maybe it takes like 6 months. Take that 6 months to change your diet, not one day. And the other one would be for the soul, which is to breathe better. And breathing better is to breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. The mouth is for eating, it's not for breathing. So it's about to breathe in and breathe out through the nose, not through the mouth. And when you do that, you have to try each day to count how much numbers you can count breathing in, how much you can count holding the air, and how much you can count breathing out. So as many numbers you can do, the better. If you can start with only two, counting one, two, one, two, and the other day, three, and the other day, four, step by step. Don't push yourself. And this is to oxygen better your body, so the energy moves better. So this is like naturally we say when we see some crazy people or someone out of his mind, you say, take a deep breath, calm down. That's natural in us. It's like, take a deep breath. Yes, because all the emotions that we have are energy. So if we balance the energy of our body by breathing, the emotions also balance itself. Okay, so that's why it's good for the soul. And the third one, which is for the spirit, is to laugh a lot. As much you laugh in your life, the highest is the vibration. So you reach to find that essence of the spirit, the joy. The only way you can, in which you can get into the spiritual level, is through joy. So laugh.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that.
Easy.
Yeah, I love when we make it simple. I feel like we live so in our minds, we try to figure everything out, but sometimes it's just the truth is simple.
Yeah, then you have a lot of things to do. You have many therapies, worships, and yeah, channelings, and thousands of things that will help. But start with these three and then do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, I'm sure everybody listening now by this point is like hungry for more and wants more from you. So what are you up to? Where can people find more of you? All that good
Well,
stuff.
I am daily, every day, posting something, some of the thoughts from the I Am, and doing a meditation every day for these alignments. And you will find everything in a blog that its name is yosoy.red. It's in Spanish, but you have the choice to translate it in English aside in the blog, so you can do it. And and yo soy is I am in Spanish, so easy, you can translate it if you don't know how to write it. It's yo soy all and dot red, like the color, but in Spanish it means network. So josoy.red, and you will find everything that I'm doing every day and all the information.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely link that for everyone listening in the show notes and the caption, as well as Matias's show Initiation on Gaia, which is a great place to start to just dip into all the wisdom that he has to offer. So I'll link all of that. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your time, and I loved this. This was amazing. I learned so much. So thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember that you can start watching Matias's show Initiation on Gaia with the link to a free trial in the show notes. The link is gaia.com/portal/EmilyJoy. And remember that you can always watch these interviews on the MetaMoon YouTube channel. Subscribe while you're there, of course. And if you ever have thoughts, suggestions, requests, just reach out to me on social media at emily.capshaw. Until next time, remember that you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you.